Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. The name of the message today is called A Miracle of Grace. A Miracle of Grace. Have you ever heard someone say, or maybe in religion you might have said it yourself? I know I said it of a few people, and now I look back and I realize just how wrong I was to make a statement like that. Have you ever heard people say, well, that person never be saved? No way. You know, when I was religious, I used to think like that sometimes. Isn't that awful? What an awful thing to think. Limiting God. Now, God saves whom he wills, right? When he wills. And he says that all who come to him, here save him to the uttermost. Some commentator says to the guttermost. Because he found us down in the gutter alive, didn't he? That's where he found us. And he picked us up out of that situation that we were in, situation we could never get out of ourselves. And he set us upon a rock, beloved. Set us firm upon a rock. Now we're going to look at somebody today that I imagine some people wrote off. That man will never be saved. I imagine they said that. I imagine people said that in their self-righteousness. And the reason I imagine that people said that is because, again, I said things like that when I was in religion, and I know other people have said the same thing in the past. But our God has mercy on whom he have mercy. And he have compassion on whom he have compassion. And when the Lord reveals himself to us, we find out just how mighty our God is. We find out that nothing's impossible with our God, right? And do you know that every one of you who believe the Lord are a miracle of grace? You're a miracle of the grace of God. Whether you feel it or not, you are. Because it was impossible for you or I to save ourselves, right? With man, these things are impossible. But the scripture says with God, all things are possible. We're walking miracles of grace, beloved. We don't feel that way, do we? We feel our sinfulness. We feel our shame. But you know what? Never forget what Tim James said. He said that the blood of Jesus Christ gags the conscience. Puts a gag upon the conscience. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We're not guilty before God anymore. There be no punishment for us when we pass from this world to the next, because we're in Christ. Now here's a man. Here's a man in our text today. Luke chapter 8. And we'll be looking at verses 26 to 39. And we'll read this portion. And like I said, I imagine some people wrote this fellow off. Just said, well, he's a lost cause. But remember, the very one who calmed the storm, and the Lord had just calmed the storm before this. He had spoke, and that storm calmed. The very one who calmed that storm, who we know is the Word of God, right? The second person of the Trinity in the flesh, is going to have a meeting with this man. Now, this man has no idea. He has no idea that there's a divine appointment awaiting him. And he has no idea that a miracle of grace is going to be performed. All by the power and might of our great God. And think of this, just the fact when he says, peace be still, and that storm calmed, that showed us his deity, didn't it? That magnified the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he really is. And again, too, let us remember as we read this portion that all this happens according to God's divine purpose and will. In thinking your own life, that your salvation all happened according to the divine will and purpose of God. It was God's will that you would hear the gospel. It was God's will that you'd be regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now here we're going to see clearly God's eternal purpose at work. Again, this man woke up that day and had no idea what was going to happen. As a matter of fact, he's out of his mind. It's the Gadarene demoniac. He's out of his mind. One of my favorite portions of Scripture because it shows us in the state we don't know God. They tried to help him. They tried to do all kinds of things. And that's just religion. We're going to see that. That's just religion. Trying to reform the guy. Trying to put chains on him. He just broke them all. Now, but he has a meeting, a divine appointment with the Eternal One. The Word of God incarnate. Let's read here. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee, all by the purpose of God. Nothing happens without the purpose of God. Keep that in our minds all the time while we're reading this. And he went forth to a land. There met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. This man was living in the graveyard, amongst the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice saith, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High?" Look at that. Look at the identification of who Christ is. "I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes he had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. A legion is 5,000 men in the Roman army. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. The deep there is in the Greek is the abyss. The abyss. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into a lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Now this is amazing miracles happened here. This man has been delivered from a legion of demons. You think people would be joyful because they tried to help him before, right? But he just broke the bands. But look at these folks who are the keeper of the swine here. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man, look at this, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now remember, he was uncontrollable. He was uncontrollable before this. They tried to chain him, he'd break the bands. He was totally out of his mind. Now look at, he's now sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's in his right mind now, isn't he? And he's sitting. He's in a position of submission. He's sitting before the Lord. He didn't do that before. He raged through the tombs like a crazy man. And now he's sitting. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. My, oh my. And clothed. Now he's clothed. He was naked before, wasn't he? That's what the scripture said. Now he's clothed. Well, that's a picture of us being naked in our natural state and then clothed by the precious righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, and in our right mind. Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful picture. And what? You think they'd be rejoicing, right? You think they'd be happy. Well, they were afraid. They were afraid. They also, which saw it, told them by means that he was possessed of the devil, was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. He's just performed a miracle of grace, and these people want nothing to do with him. Think of that when the Lord saves one of his sheep. What happens to him with his friends who were in the world and his family who is in the world? All of a sudden, they don't want as much to do with you as they used to. Something's changed. Something's changed. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, now, see there, he wanted to go with the Lord. He wanted to follow the Master. No matter where he went, he wanted to be with him. And look what the Lord says. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And what does he do? He obeys the command of the Lord. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. He's an evangelist. he's a born-again, blood-washed saint telling folks, look what the Lord's done for me. And think of that. Think of how much he would be a constant reminder to them of the power of God. They knew what he was like before. And here's this fellow going around saying, the Lord, look what the Lord did for me. He saved me by his grace. And he's publishing it all over the place. Oh my. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Now we know the Lord was on a divine mission to save his people from their sins. And he came to the lost sheep to do the Father's will. And note verse 22. Of this chapter says, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So we see the reason, and we know now the reason why the Lord went to the other side of the lake. Why he went to the Gadarenes. Because there was one sheep there. Think that? He went for one sheep. One sheep, beloved. And he performed a miracle of grace on that one sheep. You're one sheep, aren't you? Did the Lord come to you? He did, didn't he? He sought us, right? We weren't seeking him, were we? He sought us. What a beautiful picture we have here. One sheep out of all that country. Everybody else said, oh, get out of here. That one sheep, he just kept bleating, didn't he, when he went back home. He was never quiet again. Oh my. And you who are the redeemed, blood-washed saints of the God, we're joyful just like he is, aren't we? When that time of love comes. And then we're joyful when we hear about the gospel preached and proclaimed, when we hear Christ crucified preached and proclaimed, when we read about this wonderful narrative here of this man who's been delivered from a legion of demons. Delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And think of this, the storm that occurred earlier when he calmed the sea, that was not to stop him. That was all designed to manifest his power and to manifest who he was to the disciples. And now think of this, he goes to the other side, and here's a man who no one can heal, no one can help, and with a word like that. The power of God is demonstrated. Just with a word. My, oh my. So this storm came, and he came to the shore, like the scripture says. Why? Well, for the glory of God. For the glory of God to be manifested. And we know that everything he did, he gave glory to God, didn't he? He's a submissive servant. He came here to do the Father's will. So it was the Father's will that he would land on that land, that he would step off that ship, that he would walk to that man. See, that man, again, had a divine appointment. He had a divine appointment. And there was no way of getting out of it. He didn't even know he had a divine appointment. Did you know you had a divine appointment when the Lord saved you? Not a clue, right? We were going the other way. And the Lord arrested us. Stopped us in our tracks, right? Stopped us in our tracks, beloved. And we are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And my, oh my, what a mighty work he did. What a mighty work he did. I just got to keep my glasses on to keep that thing from falling out. So, oh my. Look at verse 26 again. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. All this was purposed and planned by God from eternity. All this has come to pass because of the great covenant of grace that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit made in eternity. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Here he is, right here before us, the Lord Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world, and received up to glory. And that's in 1 Timothy 3:16. This is not some story. This really happened. This man was really possessed by a legion of demons. But oh, what a great, great deliverance we see here before us. Now we know this man was one of the Lord's lost sheep. And here are three things for us to ponder and meditate upon this week. Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. And he will come and find his lost sheep. He will seek them out. That man was not seeking Christ, was he? He was running around the tombs naked and causing all kinds of trouble. He had no idea, again, that he had a divine appointment. And in Luke 19:10, the scripture says that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. So he's the great shepherd of the sheep. And he came here to this earth to seek that which was lost. That was us, his lost sheep. This is one of his lost sheep. And notice who did the seeking. Christ went right to him, didn't he? Christ went right to him. And then also, the third point for us to remember this week is that none of us in our unregenerate state, our natural state, will ever seek the Lord. This man's proof, right? He wasn't seeking the Lord. Not at all. Scripture says there's none that seeketh after God. But remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of his sheep. He came here to save his people. He will not lose one of them. And think of this. This is even before he's went to the cross and redeemed them. He's still one of his sheep, though, isn't he? Because we're his sheep for what? From eternity. His love's been set upon this man from eternity. He saw him in that state. And he rescued him, didn't he? He rescued him. So what a wonderful God-honoring account we see here of the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting his almighty power. So let's bring it home. If the Lord's done this for this man, is anything too hard for him to do for us? Let us just look to the Savior in all times in our lives. No matter what the opposition we're facing, let us take comfort in our Savior. And let us tell others of the wonderful things that He's done for us. Because we're all miracles of grace. All of us. A miracle of the free grace and the sovereign grace of God. I must admit, I don't feel that way. But it's true, isn't it? We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, beloved. We're stones being made ready. It's incredible. And it all happened according to God's almighty power. Look here in Luke 8. We're going to read verse 26 to 29 again. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. This man was in torment. He was tormented. How are we when the Lord starts to reveal to us by His Holy Spirit our sinfulness? You ever look back and remember how it was when the Lord was drawing you? I know one dear sister we have among us, she said that one minute she saw her sinfulness, and the next minute the balm of Christ came. I've never forgotten that when she told me that. My. So we see our guilt. We see our sinfulness. And then the precious, precious blood of Christ is revealed to us. The fact that Christ cleansed us from all our sins. And we rejoice, don't we? We look to Christ by God-given faith. And now we see here that this man is made willing in the day of God's power. He was unwilling. He was just raging in them tombs. And then Christ comes. And number one, he runs to Christ. Right? But who's speaking here? Who's speaking here when he calls and says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High?" As far as we know, he's never met Christ. But those demons know who he is. As far as we know, this man never even heard of him. We don't know. But the scripture says the devils believe and tremble. That's who's speaking there. They know who he is. Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High. And they're trembling. Demons have more sense than unsaved men. And we were all in that state, weren't we? Not knowing who God was. Look at this, though. Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High. They're acknowledging who he is. And they're afraid. See, never forget that our King has all power. He's all powerful. And the one who's standing before that man and who's possessed of a legion of demons is the Word of God incarnate. The Most High One. The one who the angels just fall to their faces before. And those demons, they know who He is. And they have a right to tremble, don't they? The Lord Jesus Christ is no one to be trifled with. He's no one to be made fun of. People casually throw His name around like it's nothing. Oh, Lord, please save them before they die. Because if He doesn't, they're going to find out who He was and who He is even today. He's God Almighty, the Son of God, the Most High. Now think of this. He's our Savior. That's our Savior. We have a holy awe of Him, don't we? We have a holy fear of Him, of who He is. But He's made peace with God for us through His precious, precious blood. We don't have to fear our God. What does He say? What did David say to Mephibosheth? When Mephibosheth is brought before David, he's brought before David. David's the king over all the land, right? Picture of the father, king over all. And here's Mephibosheth, and he's bought before the king. And he falls down. Well, he can't walk. He's just laying his head down. And David says, "Fear not." That's what God says to us in Christ. Fear not. Oh, my. But all my sins, Lord, I know what I've done and You know what I've done. Fear not. They're covered in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder we say hallelujah? Is it any wonder we praise His mighty name? Is it any wonder that this man went back and published all the great things that Christ did for him? Is it any wonder? What a miracle. What a miracle of grace the Lord has done with every single believer. And again, this man, he's possessed of a legion of demons. He's not in his right mind when the Lord comes to him. And he's there facing the one who has all power in heaven and earth. Remember that too. The Word of God never ceased being the Word of God, did He? Now He's submissive to the Father, but He's still God incarnate in the flesh, isn't He? And the Scripture says all power has been given to Him. When was that given to Him? Just when He was on earth? No, He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, isn't He? He's the very one who said, it says of the Scriptures, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. He's the one who said, let there be light. And what? There was light. That's Him. The very one who we see in our text here. That's Him. And so here's this man possessed of a legion of demons. Turn, if you would, over to Mark chapter 5. And we'll look at the narrative over there. Same narrative, Mark chapter 5. This man, beloved, he was in a hopeless, helpless state. Man had done all they could do to help him, and he had received no help at all. None. He broke those chains. They tried to bound him, and several grace preachers say that represents religion. Binding us up with fetters. You have to do this, you have to do that. And you're just weighed down. And no one can help. Religion can't help an unsaved person. Religion can't help an unsaved person. Only Christ can. So this man, he's in a hopeless, helpless state. He's running around. He's in the middle. He's in the tombs running around where dead people are. And he's running around naked. Now, I imagine that troubled the townspeople and the people of that land, right? I imagine it did. He probably terrified them. That's why I can't understand. Here he is in his right mind, and he's fine, and they're saying, "Get out of here, Lord." Well, that's just natural man, isn't it? That's just natural man. Look at Mark chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him." Look at that. They couldn't bind him up. No, not with chains. Think of the chains of religion. They bind us up, don't they? Oh, my. And look at this. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He's out of his mind. And look what he did. "And always night and day he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." He started to mutilate his body. Cutting himself with sharp stones for no reason. And they tried to help him. Tried to shackle him. Again, this picture's religion trying to help a lost man. But he'd broken all those chains. Couldn't help him at all. Couldn't help him at all. But then comes God incarnate in the flesh and stands before him. You know, we'll never understand the sovereign grace of God unless we understand the total depravity of man and how we fell in Adam. And what a picture we have here. It pictures our natural state, beloved. No man could tame us. Doing whatever we will. Whenever we will. Scripture says we drink sin like iniquity. Yep, I was there. Still struggle with sin, do you? All the time, eh? But praise be to God. We're saved sinners now, eh? Let's go back to Luke again. Look at verses 28 to 33. Here's a lost sheep who is under control of these demons. But he's going to have a meeting. Luke 8, verses 28 to 33. "When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. With a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, 'What is thy name?'" Now our Lord is not asking them this information, is he? He already knows who possesses this man. This is for our learning and for the disciples' learning as well. Everything God does, he does with a purpose, doesn't he? There's nothing God does that doesn't have a purpose behind it. And he says, "For us, what is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Again, a legion was 5,000 men, but then when you added usually the auxiliaries and everything else, you're talking a slew of men. Now, sometimes 7,000 to 8,000 soldiers with the people that would help them and everything. A lot of folks. So think of this. One person. But the important thing is the person who's standing. One person standing before a man possessed by, let's just do the 5,000. One against 5,000. It's not even a contest, is it? It's not even a contest. They're already laying their arms down. You know why? Because that's the captains of the Lord's host standing before them. My. That's God incarnate standing before them. And they know who he is. They know. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, because they knew they did not want to go to the abyss. That's what that is in the Greek. And they knew that he had all the power and authority to do that. What power our King has. What power our Lord has. You know, our president is the commander-in-chief, right, of the armed forces. That's a lot of men to be in charge of. And usually each leader in the world is commander-in-chief of the forces. That's nothing. That power is nothing. Not even a scratch on the surface compared to the power that our King has. And that's a lot of power that these earthly men have, eh? Nothing. He's commanding demons. One angel killed over 100,000 men. There's 5,000 fallen angels. And they're trembling before our King. Trembling before our Savior. Oh Lord, why do I ever doubt? Flesh, the flesh, flesh. Lord, help my unbelief. This is our Savior, beloved. This is our Redeemer. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and were choked. They all died. Now the reason why those folks were so ticked off, because that's a lot of money in pigs. That's a lot of money, isn't it? They should have been rejoicing over the fact that the Lord did a miracle of grace. But see, natural man doesn't think about spiritual things, do they? Did you or did I speak or think of spiritual things before the Lord saved us? I didn't. Not really. Someone died, then I'd have the fear of death would kick in, which was always around. But now we don't fear death because we know what awaits us. Now I'm not saying we're not going to shake on that time when we're going to go be with the Lord, because that's just the natural part of our flesh, isn't it? But what a comfort and peace we have. What an assurance we have that the moment we breathe our last breath, we're with the Lord. And that'll never change, beloved. If you're one of his, that'll never change. And so what power we see here? What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? They identify him. And then they said, I beseech thee, torment me not. What power he has. They've been tormenting this man. And they beseeched the Lord not to torment them. My. Men just scoff at the Lord and men just throw his name around like a byword, like I said, not knowing who he is. Not knowing his power. Not knowing that he is the eternal Son of God. And notice, there's no worship of God in this man's heart, no worship of Christ. Not yet, but there will be because of a miracle of grace. Oh my. And these demons wanted nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, did they? They They want nothing to do with him. They have no interest in him. There's no redemption for fallen angels. None at all. But there's redemption for fallen men, praise be to God. And that's only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you turn over to Mark chapter 1, verse 25, look what our Lord says to the unclean spirit in Mark 1, 25. Look at this. Mark 1:25. Same narrative. Look at this. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace. Silence." They couldn't say another word. My, oh my. We see here proof that all things visible and invisible are under the power of God. He has power over all things, visible and invisible. They cannot do nothing unless the Lord allows. And what power is demonstrated here before us? That same power that we see here demonstrated is the same power that was exercised on us by God's regenerating power. It's all the power of God, isn't it? The same power that raised Christ from the grave is the same power that regenerated us. My, oh my. Let's go back to verses 30 and 33 now. Luke chapter 8, verses 30 and to 33. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. See, they knew again that they were at his beck and call. Whatever he said, they had to do. They couldn't say, "Well, wait, no, you know what? You know what?" They couldn't say this. They couldn't say this. "Well, you know, I've decided not to do what you're saying, Lord. I'm going to stay in this man. I know you wanna help this man, but we're not going to let you." Yeah, you know where I'm going, eh? Yeah. They stop and they're silent. And there's nothing they can do. And they do not command us to go to the abyss. Because they know if he says you're going there, what are they doing? They're going there. My, oh my. And there wasn't heard as many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. He allowed them. Remember that. He allowed them to do that. He commanded them to do that. And the only reason he allowed them to is because he said, "Go in there." Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place and were choked. Again, let us take note quickly here that our Lord asked them their name. He already knew it, but again, this is for the disciples' learning and for our learning. And note, they tell them their name. They can't not tell them. If he asks, they can't say, "Well, you know what? I don't want to tell you my name. I think I'm going to wait until I feel like telling you my name." There's none of that, is there? Instantly, they tell him. And again, that's for our learning, beloved. That's for our learning. And they were begging him not to command them to go out into the deep, which refers to the place of eternal torment, eternal darkness. Note the words. Note these demons knew that our Lord was the eternal Son of God. They knew that He had all power. There's no doubt in this portion of Scripture that they knew. So what a powerful lesson this was for the disciples. They'd seen the waves and the wind obey His command, and now they see legion of demons obey His command. What learning for us too, eh? You know, the Lord can calm the storms in our life, can't He? With just a word, beloved. And sometimes we go through rough waters, don't we? But don't forget, He's the one who's steering that ship. And He's right beside you. He's right beside you. Oh, what a powerful lesson we have here. And again, these demons begged Him. They begged Him to let them go into the herd of pigs. And He let them. He suffered them, didn't He? And then we see the reaction of the ungodly men. Verse 34. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Now these were men who were keeping watch over the swine. Well, they saw their whole fortune go down in the water, didn't they? Drowned. Choked out. And then verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, again at the command of God, at command of the Word of God, at command of Jesus the Most High. They were gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in His right mind, and they were afraid. Again, they should have been rejoicing. A miracle of grace is being performed. God's almighty power is being exercised. This man's clothed, again, which pictures we who are born again being clothed in the precious righteousness of Christ. And it's God who puts that robe on us, isn't it? We are just like Him. We were running around naked in our natural state, spiritually, with no covering except our fig leaves. Like Adam did and Eve. Well, this will cover here. If I stop doing this, there's a little fig leaf there. If I stop doing that, there's a little fig leaf there. God will have none of that, won't He? And so this man here, he's clothed and he's in his right mind. Again, which pictures us being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And he's sitting at the feet of Christ. He's reposing. Remember I mentioned that a few weeks back? Sitting in the chair. You guys are reposing right now? He's reposing. And he's in a state of submission, isn't he? He's sitting. And I'll tell you what. I bet you his eyes are glued to Christ. I bet you the whole rest of the world just dissolved away. And he's looking at the Savior. Because that's what happened to us, isn't it? Lord saves you, and my, you just want to keep your eyes on Him. Unfortunately, we battle this flesh, don't we? We live in this world of what seems like turmoil, but it's not. Everything's happening according to God's will and purpose. Just remember that too. It's all happening according to God's will and purpose. My, oh my. And here he is, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. This man's been set free from the power of darkness. How's he been set free? By anything he did? We've seen in here, there's nothing he did, is there? With a word. With a word, our Lord cleansed him. Or I was just thinking, with a word, the Lord cleansed that leper. When the leper said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. With a word, this man had all those demons depart from him. Just with a word. My, oh my. Yeah, he's been given an understanding of who Christ is now, isn't he? He's running around them tombs naked. He didn't have any understanding of who God was. Again, as far as we know, he never even heard of Christ. He knows him now, doesn't he? He was always known of God from eternity. You and I, who are believers, were always known of God from eternity. There was a time when we didn't know him, though, wasn't there? Now we know him. Now we worship him, and now we adore him. Oh, my. Let's look at the last couple verses here. 38 and 39. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. He just wanted to be with the Lord. Where do you want to be? Oh, Lord. We all look to that day, don't we? Oh, Lord. We look to that day when we'll be with the Lord, either at our death or at his coming. But we look forward to that, don't we? To drop this robe of flesh, this tent, the scripture calls it, and to be with Christ. He just wanted to be with the Lord. He's just like us. He's just like every born-again, blood-washed saint. He wants to be with the Lord. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Think of this. We're saved. When the Lord saves us, what do we want? We want to be with the Lord, don't we? He says you need to tarry there a little while. You need to go back and tell the great things I've done for you. See how this can apply to us too? Because what do we do now? We tell people about what the Lord's done for us when the Lord opens the door. And we have to tarry here just a little while. But one day, and it's not very far off, because our life's like a vapor. I'll tell you what, this last year is flowing by for me. And I know the older I get, the faster it seems to get. It's incredible how quickly days pass now. It's amazing how quickly weeks pass. We've been here 5.5 years, and it feels, I still remember when we got here. It's amazing. But it's been so quick, hasn't it? So amazing. Just incredible. We got to tarry here a little while. Just a little while. And I ask you this, eh? Can you blame him for wanting to be with the Lord? Oh, hey. Here's the one who healed him. Here's the one who cast out all those demons. Here's the one who was tormented. Did not our sin torment us? When the Holy Spirit revealed Christ to us, did not our sin torment us? But now we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now we're in our right mind. We look to Christ. And now we just sit at his feet, don't we? Praise be to God. Praise be to God.